Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 232.
This week on the podcast, Donald Trump will see the court system in court, which makes sense because that's literally the only place you'd find them.
Mitch McConnell accidentally writes Elizabeth Warren's 2020 campaign slogan.
And rest in peace to all zero victims of the fake Atlanta terrorist attack.
Trump learns that having the job of president is not exactly the same as having a completely different job.
And Nordstrom's of all stripes are trying to get us out of this mess.
Plus, Donald Trump, like so many of us, is on the hunt for some easy D.
And the Bad News Live crew returns for a post-election debrief.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
That's right, and we've got special guests this week.
Yay!
We've got Chuck Ludwig and Julianne Simmons from Bad News Live.
That's right, and they are here to promote their show on February 18th, which is at the Acme Comedy Theater in LA. So get your tickets online somewhere. Where do you get your tickets?
Badnews.tv, and thanks for having us, guys.
No problem. Yeah. It was so fun when you guys came last time. So
I know, and
we're
it was
excited.
Before the election, so
right.
Things have happened.
Updates.
Wait, I haven't really checked up. What's going on?
Wait, there's
an
election?
It's a very quick story, so don't worry about it.
Sad.
Also,
sad
I'm once story. Again losing my voice, so yep. We have an exciting roller coaster of a voice adventure.
I have
us.
The same thing going on with my hope. It's really weird. It's...
Don't you like when you lose your voice sometimes? Don't you feel like that, like...
Like a raspy,
probably like sexy.
I get
raspy.
Asked for cigarettes so much when I lose my voice, and I'm always like, "No, you guys,
don't you see what happens?"
Right? I'm the cautionary tale now. Yeah. So in any case, last week's episode was like 400 hours long. We don't apologize; it wasn't our fault.
No.
The news was 400 hours long.
You didn't listen to it. I mean,
screw you. You need to know what's going on.
I was gonna say we can't blame you, but Lila says screw you, so I'll go with that.
Yeah, that's the better answer.
Yeah.
But we have another pretty heavy news week. Less heavy because we're finally out of the executive order, like...
Sort of.
We're about to be back in it, I think. But they finally heeded Rens Priebus' advice to stop just, like, writing random executive orders and releasing them at random.
Right, straight from Steve Bannon's bunker or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, yeah. Now they have to get run by the appropriate channels before they get signed.
I'm not convinced that this one that we're expecting on, like, Monday or Tuesday is going to be of that ilk. Because it's just like it's an anger order.
It felt like the early days of MySpace, you know, when you would just post anything before you realize, like, oh, this is, everyone's going to see this.
Right.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it was sort of like, it was the transition to social media, basically. The transition to the White House turned out a lot more heavy news coverage than they expected. Yeah. A lot more outcry. Right. People cared.
And the courts wish they would have run this by...
Somebody.
The proper legal channels, too, because they didn't really agree with it.
No,
We finally got a ruling this week.
Yes, and the ruling, this came from the Ninth Circuit. The ruling is actually on whether or not the other U.S. Circuit judge who had ruled on making a temporary ban was, like, allowed to enact it through those channels. So it was, like, a technical ruling on the ruling that we had already had for the temporary ban. And it was a unanimous ruling, but they did not sign their names to the opinion because everyone's getting real... nervous about Trump's propensity for attacking judges on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's getting real.
I think he'll
fun.
I think he'll figure out who they are.
Where's the John Hancock amongst us who will put his,
right?
his signature
his at name at? He'll just put his Twitter handle right there so Trump can find it real easy.
Just like I know we should just start challenging him to Twitter duels.
Oh, yeah. I feel like we would love to get it.
Right?
Oh, well, did you see what the ACLU tweeted at him? Because after this ruling came down, he tweeted, "We'll see you in court."
Yes. Yeah. Which is where you would find a court, by the way.
But did you see what the ACLU said?
No, what did they say?
They said, "Cash us outside."
Oh, no, they didn't.
Yes, they did. They're official. Yes. And I was like,
I tweeted that too.
So good.
Oh, you did too?
I was like, see you in court is the new Cash Me Outside.
Yeah.
And then Cash Me Outside girl followed me on Twitter.
Yeah.
So it was a big week for me too.
Yeah.
Nice.
Personal victories in the midst of the ruling nightmare.
Yeah.
But so this... It sounded to me when I read about this ruling like the court was mostly angry that the administration had questioned their right to rule on it in the first place.
Well, that's the thing.
Because they got more in depth about it than they needed to, given that this was just like a technical ruling on a ruling. And they kind of like in their ruling question some of the tenets of the actual ban instead of just like the procedure that Judge Robart filed the temporary
ban. And that's the thing that I think was so worrisome about the administration's response to this is that they have continued to say
that it's not reviewable.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that what is the point actually, of the courts? But I was going to say, but all oh, things are. Right. Like, that's, you know, like.
Somebody needs to give him a, like, fourth grade civics
lesson. I know. Yeah, exactly.
I read it. I read more like, than one of powers, checks op-ed and balances. This week about how we need a return to civics class.
Yes. Like, he saw the Conjunction Junction cartoon, and that was it. And he just tapped out. He didn't get to How to Make a Bill. He didn't get to any of the other.
And those are good songs, too.
Those are great songs.
You know, yes, I mean, why limit your music
on his reading level, too?
Yeah,
exactly. It's all age appropriate.
Ooh.
So in any case, it sounds like they were just pretty pissed off that they had questioned their right to rule on it in the first place. And so after the president tweeted, "See you in court, the security of our nation is at stake," to which, by the way, all of the internet had a great response to. It wasn't just the ACLU, because that was like, wasn't that the 3-0 Hillary Clinton tweet,
yes.
What came as a response to that, and then Kellyanne Conway tweeted at her 3 states that she had lost, and then I tweeted at Kellyanne Conway 2.8 million.
Yeah,
she didn't respond to my tweet at all.
Mm-hmm.
Bitch. Wow.
But so, in any case, the court system will definitely see him in court, because that's where they work.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
That was curious. You know, it was curious to direct that at a judge.
He doesn't have a great track record in court.
I know, right?
He also doesn't even have a solicitor general yet, so he doesn't have a person to try it in front of the Supreme Court when it comes to it. So
no, that's going to be all catch-up. It's all catch-up.
Yeah.
But so, in any case, this decision keeps the ban from being enforced. And then there's another decision that's coming, I think, next week or the week after with Judge Robart again, that would take this temporary ban and turn it into a preliminary injunction.
Mm-hmm.
It's the legal term.
So where are we right now? It's a ban on the ban?
Yeah, it's basically a temporary hold. It's like a temporary restraining order on the ban while they review it, basically. And then the preliminary injunction would be a much longer ban on the ban. And then it's likely to go to the Supreme Court if there's a preliminary injunction.
Right.
So that's kind of like the setting it up for the Supreme Court. So the two states that brought this case to court, which I think it was Washington and Minnesota, have to file new paperwork with Judge Robart to be heard again to get this preliminary injunction. And then it just sounds like a lot of paperwork for them.
Yeah, can they e-file?
Right? It sounds like a really boring and time-consuming process.
It really does.
Do you think, I was thinking about this, do you think that the courts are, like, if it was not Trump, if it was somebody else, they would be like, or something not so serious?
Right.
It does feel a little, political, and I think that's fine. That is the point of checks and balances for other parts of the government to say, maybe this is not the right direction. But I do think that they are kind of going after him because of his rhetoric.
Well, I think part of it is that this has just been, like, inexpertly done to a degree that leaves it open to, like, to the fact that it has been openly called a Muslim ban by even people in his own circle leaves, and that his own administration can't seem to point to a justification for it that makes any sense,
right.
Like, makes it more loophole-y than...
Yeah, exactly. Well,
than
and
a
I think,
traditional executive order
right,
situation
right.
might
well,
be.
Well, and I think that's what they have... it sounds like they are sort of, like, setting the stage to basically rewrite it is what it sounds like. And they're not, you know, what they have been saying, I think what they, and I'm sort of putting words into their mouth and I have no idea what they're thinking because God only knows. But I mean, I know, right? Because they've been talking about that the court can't hear this. The court can't decide on this. And there are some presidential powers that the president has that he would be allowed to do. But this is so broad and was so sort of like inexpertly done that is why I think that they felt like they had to rule on this.
The president doesn't have the power to openly violate the Constitution.
Well, no, he doesn't. Like, but like there are things like they can decide like whether they want to continue to issue work and travel visas like from these. But the whole thing about just sort of like where it was like done in such a haphazard way where it was like there were people who were traveling here, there were people who had families here, there were green card holders, there were people getting stuck in airports
and
other
countries.
The rulings
were all
like,
on the basis
like,
of hardship for
right,
the people
exactly.
that were affected.
So I think that they could rewrite this in a way that probably would pass muster.
Right.
I'm not saying they should, but like that's probably what they're going to do, and that probably would stand up in court.
Shot, though. Their credibility
right, exactly.
is shot.
Yeah.
We know exactly what their motives are. It's bullshit. My question is, why waste your political capital
in this way?
Those early days on this shit?
Well, they didn't
There was
know
no pressing
how,
reason.
They
there
didn't
was no
know how to spend political capital.
Unforced
right.
errors, I think, is the hallmark of what
They're nouveau riche of political capital. Yeah, so they
exactly. Never, totally. They'll That's spend funny. Their money on gold on a, statues.
On a tacky Muslim band. Just.
Like this, yeah. They. I don't think that they have the expertise to even know that there's such a thing as political capital, and mm-hmm. also that there is such a thing as like a check and balance on the presidential powers. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just not sure that they know enough to know. Anything.
Yeah, I feel like yeah. if Dick Cheney was at the helm, they would have got this through.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we talked last week about how like Dick Cheney, Dick Cheney is how you know to call a bill that takes away civil rights the Patriot Act, so mm-hmm. that anytime mm-hmm. a foe of the bill has to say it, they have to say the word patriot
yeah.
and then talk about why they're against it. Like these are
Muslim
simple.
Muslim band doesn't have the same ring.
No, you call yep. it like the Happiness for All Americans and Free Puppies band, and then you bury in there something that's like a word that you know. Can be interpreted to mean that Muslims can't come into the country.
Yeah, yeah.
Like these are how politics happen in this, you know, in this way. Like this is like the product of having nobody who has any experience in any level of government. Because even their insider guy, Rince Priebus, is not someone who's ever served an elected office.
Right.
So he's good at getting people elected, but he doesn't know shit about how to get a bill passed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't know anything even about.
Governance.
Again, 10 minutes watching cartoons could have gone so far.
Yes,
I know.
Exactly.
America's 5-year-olds from the 80s are really like better prepared to be the president.
Yeah.
But this led to sort of an interesting split with Judge Gorsuch.
Yes, because Trump is known for attacking judges. I mean, this is not a new thing recently. I mean, he did it during
Remember
the campaign with
the judge of Mexican heritage who he questioned his ability to rule effectively on it.
So this is not new. And apparently Gorsuch doesn't like it much.
No, he was in a meeting with Richard Blumenthal, who's on the Judiciary Committee, and called these actions demoralizing and disheartening, Trump's comments. But he didn't... His aides rushed to say that Blumenthal could publicize that he had said that and quote him, but he himself has not come out and said anything.
Mm-hmm.
He is like sort of zipping his lips on whether mm-hmm. or not, you know, he wants to publicly take on the right. Trump administration.
Well,
but
he's going to get asked about this again in his hearings.
Well, exactly. It just
Al Franken will ask
I think,
him.
Though, that he is setting it up to be asked again in the hearings so that he can say it was in the hearings and it wasn't just like he was like randomly shit-talking the president.
Right.
But I think it's to sort of try to politic a little with the Democrats. I just don't think it should be successful.
No, I think it will be, though. I think it's probably. Throwing a bone to
They're
them
fools.
And be like, hey, guys, look, I'm with you here.
Well, actually, I was surprised because I saw the other day that Chuck Schumer said that this was self-serving.
Yes, I know. And usually he's the first one to be like, no, we get it. Do what you need to do. Do anything. But so I think if the Democrats are... able to continue their rage at the way Merrick Garland was treated, I feel like we're in good stead here. I just worry that they'll cave. And I don't...
Were the Democrats?
My plan that I announced last week that I'm planning to announce every week until the end of time, until someone listens to the plan.
Now.
So 2 weeks from now. Right. It'll be 4 mentions of my plan. Is that they should say that they're not willing to consider Gorsuch until there are 2 seats available and Merrick Garland and Gorsuch can go up together. I think that they should do a 2-for-1 deal.
Well, I heard that they could actually shrink the number of seats.
Oh. Well, so maybe we just keep shrinking them.
There's no, like, requirement
that
there
be 9.
You need to have 9.
No.
And so I'm worried.
You couldn't just, then why has no one ever just added another guy?
I think I think the court did get bigger at one time, didn't
it? Well,
it
did. It used to be bigger.
Yeah.
It used to be 7. Yeah,
and
then expanded. And what I propose, instead of appointing either of these jackasses, is fucking shrink the court.
Shrink it back down.
Oh.
Sorry, Clarence.
Right.
Yeah, seriously. Definitely.
Seriously.
First to go.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, I think that whatever they do, there's no pressing need for them to have 9 judges on the court right now. Even Dianne Feinstein said that. And she doesn't like to come out and say things. She's been, like, really strung up by the fact that people are calling her office nonstop and she can't get away from anyone.
I'm calling her. I know.
It is... It's so heartening that you can't get through to her office anymore because
mm-hmm.
for a while it was real easy. But I feel like there's no pressing reason that they need to approve this. So any reason to do it just to be nice people should not, don't be nice people.
Well, and there shouldn't be 2 separate sets of rules.
No, exactly.
For the
Republicans
and for the Democrats.
Literally, too, it's good for the Democrats because what will happen if this Muslim ban goes to the Supreme Court and they go 4-4, it goes back to the appellate court, which
mm-hmm.
they want.
Which,
so it's strategically a good move to play a little bit of a...
When
a
I also, I don't think the Supreme Court could even conceivably rule in sort. I mean, I know they could conceivably. I think that this is a fairly unusual kind of case because it really runs in direct violation to like the mythology of America that we're all sort of like taught to believe makes us great. And unlike some of these other things that you can sort of like that are sort of religious and ideologically based in nonsense, you know, like ruling on abortion is like, that's mm-hmm. just your opinion on abortion. Like that isn't actually like a sort of like mythology that America has. There's no mythology right. in America about a woman's right to choose. But
and then Ben Franklin
right,
took the cocaine.
Exactly. Oh, wait, what? Oh. Like there's no history to point to. This is really like the American mythology is that we are a nation of immigrants mm-hmm. and that even Republicans have to pay lip service to that, even as they act in racist and, you know, reprehensible right, manners.
Anti-immigrant ways.
Right. Yeah. But like,
furthermore, it's spun with an anti-judge
exactly.
kind of rhetoric know,
right?
to it,
like,
which
right.
is those are the guys you need.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. So like, yeah. I just don't see how even in the Supreme Court, how four of them, mm-hmm. and I know there are four idiots in there, mm-hmm. I get it, but like, I don't see how all four could think that this... that changing the mythology of what America is to suit this idiot mm-hmm. is a worthwhile thing for the legacy of the country, which is really all they need to be concerned about.
Right. Or just the independence of the judiciary.
Exactly.
I mean, they can't... I mean, they're part of what's being attacked. So it's I don't understand the strategy.
No.
From the
it's not, like going it's not on The Voice and talking shit on Howard Stern or whoever's a judge. Yeah. It just doesn't...
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't help you.
Yeah.
It's they're winging it.
We've been loving to update you on all of the Senate confirmation hearings, and
this week it took a real dark turn,
you
guys.
We had some votes, yes. Betsy DeVos got confirmed last week when we did the podcast. We did it on Monday last week, and that we were like in the midst of the talkathon, mm-hmm. so we don't necessarily need to talk about the DeVos one. She got confirmed this week, which was terrible, but we sort of knew it was going to happen.
With Pence's vote, though, so that's a very unusual.
Right, exactly. And then she's now...
And she got turned away from a public school.
Yeah, I know. That was so good. She had to literally like walk down the stairs backward,
yes.
like to get away from
well,
the pit.
God
it
Trump
was like
with her,
so,
right?
It was so good. She also sent out that tweet about where her pencils were, which like she
yeah,
watched.
She
Did
got,
you see that?
She
like,
got
she,
ripped.
She
so
got
hard.
Dragged on Twitter, dragged. Like appropriately. I don't know how she didn't know she was walking right into that. I feel like that is just a clue as to how disconnected from
she
reality
cute.
She is.
Like a smiley face, like not even an
yeah.
emoji, but like you know,
like the old
colon,
school smiley face.
Yikes. Anyway,
the awkward.
So cheeky.
No.
Yes.
But then the Democrats haven't been getting much sleep because they had another 24-hour talkathon the next day, leading into the session's confirmation.
Those guys. Have not
vote.
Had a moment's
no
rest.
Not in, a no dose.
Yeah.
That's what's
and
going on.
And there was some drama in that one.
Yes.
Which I watched.
Brent was literally texting me a play-by-play of it. I was at work and I was like, what is happening? What is going on?
No.
What is that? And he was like, every moment,
post a
you
link
won't
to C-SPAN on Facebook and I was like,
that's weird.
Oh boy, here we go. So I was like, I watched most of that play out and it was sort of fascinating actually, but.
What do you think the producers at C-SPAN are going through right now? Like, this is our moment, guys.
This is like the heyday of C-SPAN.
And it was in prime time, too. I wonder what C-SPAN's prime time ratings were that night.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Six.
Right. The full six.
Right.
Not million.
No.
Watershed moment for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the Democrats did a Sessions talkathon as well, and that backfired on the Republicans, at least according to headlines in every major newspaper.
Right.
Because, so Liz Warren is up there, and I'm sure you've heard the story, but we're going to repeat it because it's a great story.
Yeah.
Liz Warren is up there. She's taking her turn filling up dead air with nonsense because that is during a 24-hour talkathon.
That's what
you know
do.
That Brent and I love a filibuster, even a fake filibuster that isn't filibustering anything and it's just a talkathon. So it's mostly because you hear a lot of nonsense in the midst of having to fill 24 hours of
air. It's what allows Ted Cruz to read Green Eggs and
Ham. I've heard more children's stories watching C-SPAN than I have.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this is going on. She decides to read from that 9-page Coretta Scott King letter about that 1986 judicial appointment for Jeff Sessions.
Which is actually not nonsense. It's appropriate.
Is a pertinent piece of information and an appropriate thing. And it's been entered into the congressional record before, and it will be again, because it's very pertinent to this situation. But so she's reading from this letter, and suddenly Mitch McConnell has an epiphany.
Yes.
And, that's not the sound it makes when he has an epiphany. And so he decides that he's going to stop her from speaking on the basis of some obscure rule.
Rule 19.
Rule 19.
That
senators aren't allowed to impugn each other's character on the floor. Now, once again, Liz Warren is reading a letter. She's not speaking of her own opinion. Mm-hmm. She's not using her own words. She's reading a letter that has, in fact, been read before on the Senate floor multiple times by multiple people.
And was, in fact, allowed to be read later on the Senate floor just by a man. A man that time. So
exactly.
Three men, I think, actually.
I believe three men.
And now it's been read a million times by everyone, which I don't think was his.
So congratulations.
I know, exactly.
Literally,
people have been faxing it to his office.
To the set
and,
that
I mean,
I work on, where everyone was sitting on their phones
reading
the letter before work started.
Right.
And I was like, really on set,
right.
you guys.
Which he could have avoided.
Yeah.
It's
a 9-page letter. It's exhausting to read.
It's another unforced error.
It's
though.
Another,
It's
exactly.
like murdering Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah,
like,
big mistake.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Well, and
they're scared of her. Obviously.
Very, yes. yeah. And when, you know, I think it was Lindsey Graham or somebody like went to like go shit talk her on some conservative media and said something like, it's like she's running for 2020. And I was like, you're all fucking running for 2020. Yeah. Like, that's what everyone's up to right now because we need someone to do it.
They're terrified of her because they can't. It's like, okay, Hillary Clinton has dead bodies in her past.
Right.
There's no way you're going to look at Elizabeth Warren and be like, yeah,
they're
she
like,
killed
she
a
once
man.
Claimed to be Native American. Yeah. Like, that's the best that they have on her.
He called her Pocahontas again,
Trump did. Yeah, I know. My God.
Like, in the Roosevelt room.
Not a sentence I thought I'd ever hear.
He thinks he's got hot fire. That's the problem. He's got some AIDS. Yeah. Like, good one, Mr. President.
But so in describing what happened, Mitch McConnell later says, Senator Warren was giving a lengthy speech. She had appeared to violate the rule. She was warned. She was given an explanation. Nevertheless, she persisted.
Yes.
Which immediately became a meme that has generated more graphics than I could ever imagine.
It will be the quote that Mitch McConnell, I think, is probably forever remembered for, which is not going to be what he wants.
She's running for 2020.
Reebok is
you're
making
her.
Apparel with this.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean, they
just wrote her 2020 campaign slogan.
Nevertheless, she persisted.
Yeah.
We've done it.
Yeah.
We won the presidency. No, but I mean, this is like, this was such an outrageous error that the New York Times and the Washington Post, like papers that try not to have biased headlines for the most part, basically wrote headlines that were like, Mitch McConnell is a fool and Liz
commits
Warren
political
suicide.
Commits
political
suicide.
Like, the headlines on this were nuts. Mm-hmm. And it was because it was like such an, it was like the grandfather of unforced error. It was like such a nonsense move that she was reading in the middle of the night on C-SPAN.
Yeah.
Because it was work hours for us, but it was like 9 p.m. on the East Coast. Like, it was not. It was nighttime.
I was also surprised that they
were
all
deep into
there.
CSI or whatever.
I figured that the Republicans would just let the Democrats talk all night. And
right,
then, like,
that's
that
usually
be, like,
what they do.
I was like, wait, Mitch McConnell is there? Like, what? What
he's
is
like
it?
There
and
to
Mark,
make sure that
but the funny, the funny
he has
thing
no
that,
home to go back to.
Yeah, exactly. But the like the shell. Like at least watching it, the insane thing was after that was that then they all sort of like sat around and debated whether they could. Whether they could do that or not, and like whether it was like they were debating whether they could like call Jeff Sessions a racist on the Senate floor because they were basically just like talking about whether his character could be impugned, and basically like that's what this letter is implying, obviously, is that he's a racist.
But
so,
you
like,
have to accept that
sat,
being a racist is bad to
well,
think that the letter
true.
Is implied. So they have to know that being a racist isn't desirable,
right.
which is, I think, an admission I hadn't necessarily heard from them. So that's good.
Exactly. Mm.
But yeah, I think that. Leaving them to discuss whether or not they can discuss people that have been appointed to the president's cabinet, I think was extra kind of like silly because it's very clear that you have to be able to discuss the character of a person that you're appointing to that's being appointed to, you know, lead a giant bureaucracy that protects Americans' rights. And whether or not he's a senator at the time, in the midst of being heard on this matter, he does not have the protections of being a senator. Like, that's absurd. So, like, they really, like, and that's, like, a pretty logical, like we have to be able to discuss the people that we're going to confirm.
Right, exactly.
At, you know.
Well, and what annoys me is that they kept Sessions held it so that he could vote on DeVos and then, like.
I mean, that's
that sounds strategy.
Oh my God! Do you know who Sessions' replacement is? By the way.
Oh yeah, this is good.
His name is Luther Strange, which sounds like some sort of Superman villain. I feel like.
Yeah.
So he's Senator Strange. He's also 6'9", by the way.
That's an unfortunate.
So there's a Senator Strange who's 6'9" now walking around
the fourth
the
Doctor
Senate.
Who as well. I don't know if you knew that about him.
Sure, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Anyway.
Sessions ultimately confirmed because, and by the way, Joe Manchin. Literally buzz off with yourself.
I mean,
yeah.
He's...
Bye. Go be Joe Lieberman.
Yeah.
Right,
bye.
Exactly. Like, well, you know what? The thing about Joe Manchin is that he's not going to win re-election. So no, that, I mean, like, I see what he's doing here. He's attempting to win re-election. But he's from West Virginia. It's just not going to happen for him again. We can debate whether that's sad or not. It's but, not, like, it's not. He's trying to protect himself. And, like, politically, I get it. But, like, also, you may as well just quit because it's it's over.
I would contend that if you are in West Virginia right now, or any state like West Virginia, where you're a conservative Democrat in a district that is likely just going to go nutbag in the next election, you should probably just move really far to the left.
That's what I'm saying.
See if you can get like the wackos to, you know, do nothing but to never rest until you're reelected. Like, I don't see this as a
strategy.
Any
Democrat that wants to win, stop talking about guns and you'll win. That's like, I go all around like the middle of the country and like the only, like the environment, abortion, whatever. You start talking about people's guns.
Well, that's become sort of like a cultural thing. It's not even like an idea thing anymore.
And listen, I'm for gun control, but it is such a waste of political goodwill and capital. It just disqualifies you with a huge portion of America. And just like, just don't talk about that. Like, I'm fine with guns, whatever.
Well, just say anything.
Don't say anything about it. Win the election and then deal with it.
Exactly.
My girlfriend's from Montana. I go up to Montana all the time, and literally single issue voters on that, like tons of them. Like, they care about like regulation and stuff, but they don't. You know, oil and gas regulation doesn't really affect them, even if they work in the gas industry. But their guns, that affects them. You know. Every day when they're sleeping with it cradled in their arms.
This is like the issue, though, that I think most like dramatically illustrates the underrepresentation of urban areas in like this is an issue that like a majority of people support, and but they just are concentrated in places, mm-hmm. and so they can't, you know, a majority of senators can't support it, but a majority of Congress people could if we had impartial redistricting. But so this is like that's the issue that to me most dramatically illustrates that the problem is not even really talking about guns. It's talking about representation and impartial redistricting because that shouldn't be the issue that disqualifies everyone.
Right.
Too, you know, like that's crazy.
Also getting money out of politics. I mean, the NRA has bought those are the so two seats.
Well, I don't remember where I saw it, but someone was saying liberals should all just join the NRA.
Just make it back into the sporting organization it once was.
There's not that many people. It's like 40,000 or 400,000 members. Yeah. It's not that huge of a lobby or organization. If, you know, a million liberals came in there and were like, we want really
sensible gun control is the most important gun thing we care about.
It would happen tomorrow. Like,
But the problem is that the NRA was formed in its current iteration in an attempt to, it's racialized already. Mm-hmm. It's already politicized because it was basically like a response to the Black Panthers. Right. So there is no way to like become inclusive of anyone who's not a wingnut crazy person who's afraid of Black people taking away their guns, mm-hmm. because that is like the whole point of the organization as it stands. And like, you have to pay dues to be a member of it. So it's possible that
Put your money where your mouth is, guys. And I expect both of you after this to immediately go. And I want to see that sticker on your car. I want to know.
Just two Bernie supporting NRA members here.
That's right. Yeah.
Right next to the Bernie bumper sticker, right? Yeah. Exactly. In any case,
Sean Spicer had thoughts about Coretta Scott King.
Sean Spicer has a lot of thoughts about people and things this week.
Yeah.
Many of which are not necessarily correct. This is the first amongst them.
Yeah. He would like to think that if Coretta Scott King were here, that she would have supported Jeff Sessions.
I'm sure he would like to think that.
Yeah.
I'm sure every Republican would like to think that. I'd like to think that Donald Trump has the ability to experience empathy. I don't think it's true, but I'd like to think it.
Yeah. So that's wrong.
Yeah.
But anyway, he said that as press briefing. This week.
She literally says in the letter that he lacks the temperament, fairness, and judgment to be a federal judge.
Yeah.
I just don't feel like...
Let alone the attorney fucking general.
Right, exactly.
Uh-huh. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, this is a man who has a long and serious track record and openly racist activities.
Like, many of the really bad appointments. I really worry about this one.
Yeah. This is a bad one.
Is this when we talk about Sean Spicer's face?
Yes.
Okay.
We talk about Sean Spicer's face right before our next Sean Spicer story, because I think it's pertinent, not because it's pertinent, but just because...
Well, I've been itching to get at this.
Yeah.
So...
Sean Spicer is having a face problem.
There's a great article complete with photographic evidence on Jezebel, and you should look at it whenever you want to be happy and also sort of terrified, I think, probably. Right. But it would appear that more than likely, coming from the president himself, Sean Spicer has started to either use fake tan or very bad makeup. Or
both.
Both.
I think it's both.
Mm. Yeah.
He's getting tanner and you also can see streaks, so he's definitely using makeup. But it seems like they haven't hired a professional makeup person to do his makeup for these press briefings. It seems like he's haphazardly applying it himself or something.
Well, and we know from the leaks that it is most presidents don't watch the press briefings. Like, that's not a thing that they are up to. Probably because they're doing something more important, one would
You'd
think.
Hope.
But Trump watches the press briefings. And he's also obsessed with the appearance of all of his surrogates and people who are representing him, basically.
And yet, how are they all so ugly?
Because I know, right? Because he's
how
also,
is he so ugly?
Right?
I mean,
because he's also started wearing different suits.
Yeah, Sean, so douchier suits, if you ask a person
and
with eyes.
You don't ask Trump about suits. I mean, you don't ask him about skincare either. But I mean, you certainly don't. Right,
decades.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, you should look at that because... it's just hilarious to me that presumably the president
has directed his press secretary to get a fake tan.
Actually, the reason he was moving the White House press corps so far away was to put tanning beds in the old briefing room.
He locked them away the other day. The press corps. Did you see that?
Yes.
Like, while he played golf, he, put them in
a the winter
river.
White House.
Yes.
The winter White House.
The summer winter White House.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Yes. So, in any case, Tom Price was confirmed, by the way. That was something I meant to mention before. That was just a little fact for you guys.
Yikes.
It was 52 to 48, so we're getting at least a lot of party line votes.
Was that a Joe Manchin 52nd?
Joe Manchin didn't go Tom Price. I'm surprised, because I feel once you've gone Jeff Sessions, why not go Tom Price? Why not go all the way?
Right, yeah, 52 to 48 is the actual
The actual vote. So, in any case, move back to Sean Spicer. Sean Spicer gave us the gift of... a second week in a row to talk about fake terrorist attacks.
Yes. Yeah.
This week.
Yeah.
So after last week's Bowling Green massacre.
Where we never remembered.
Bowling Green. Sean Spicer, on three occasions over the course of 2 days, was rattling off, justification for this immigration ban and was naming terrorist attacks, cities with terrorist
attacks. And also, they're now also justifying, because Trump last week said that terror attacks are going unreported. There's all these terror attacks that are going unreported.
That happened right after this.
Right, exactly. So this I think was on a list of terror attacks that went unreported, and at least this one is because it didn't happen.
Yeah. That one's so hilarious because it's like, what was the police officer like? Ugh, another bombing, but the paperwork, forget it. Yeah.
No, but so Sean Spicer is giving interviews to defend this immigration ban and is listing San Bernardino and Boston, and then consistently puts on the list Atlanta, the city of Atlanta. So that let a lot of journalists kind of started scratching their heads, wondering what they had missed about the great Atlanta terrorist incident that seemed to justify a ban on Muslim people coming into America.
Right.
It turned out Atlanta's only had one terrorist attack incident, and that was a domestic terrorist.
Yeah.
It was the Olympics. Yeah. And he was someone who, he was like your typical, he had been bombing abortion clinics, he bombed a lesbian nightclub, he'd been up to this shenanigans that white terrorists are up to in America.
Right. Well, and this is why you, at least if you're going to pick a city to have a fake terror attack, don't pick one that is only known for having domestic terrorism.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Because especially if you're trying to use it to sell a travel ban.
Because, in any case.
Boston, where were those guys from?
Well, the three cities, there's problems with all three cities.
Right.
He said later, 24 hours later, the Daily Beast broke that he had said in an email to ABC News that he meant Orlando.
Well, that was English is your first language. Right. Orlando and Atlanta sound the same.
And obviously.
Right. And he said, didn't he say something to the effect of obviously it.
Orlando.
We should have just known.
He clearly meant Orlando. Obviously, when you say Atlanta, that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah.
So in any case, these terrorist attacks all are troubling as a justification for the immigration ban, even if you include Orlando and not Atlanta in the list. Because the guy who carried out the Orlando attacks was a U.S. citizen, American-born. He was born in New York. His parents were from Pakistan, which is... Afghanistan, which is not on the banned list. And he had no official ties to any terrorist organization. He, quote-unquote, self-radicalized, if you ask him. But he was also like an American person who was just doing what American people do and committing a mass shooting. Like that fit pretty neatly into the category of American mass shootings committed against people for personal reasons. In any case, moving on to the San Bernardino attacks. They were Pakistani. One of them was American born as well, but Pakistan is not on the travel ban list. So that wouldn't have prevented them from coming into
Pakistan probably should be on the travel ban list.
The countries where you're most likely to experience these kinds of terrorist incidents are not, by and large, on the list.
Right.
Because the Boston bombers country, also the country they were from, I can't remember what it was.
Dagestan.
It was like some. It was one of those.
Weren't they Chechen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's not on the travel ban. Well, yeah. I guess Chechnya is in Russia, right?
It's like Russia adjacent.
What
drives me crazy about all of this, you know, is the fact that they are taking away resources from investigating domestic terrorism.
Yeah. Which we have a real problem with.
Been killing Americans.
Right. We have a real scourge of domestic terrorism going on here.
You know, foreigners, the foreign other.
I actually don't think we have a scourge of scapegoating the right people. Domestic terrorism either. I mean, there have been some terrible
things. We have a scourge of gun violence being carried out against masses of people in unsuspecting locations.
But if you look at the big scare thing, though, it's like they're using this to scare people. Mm-hmm. Like,
oh, yes, for sure.
Your odds of, like, I mean, there's been how many in the last year? In the last year, a handful. And it's terrible. It's always terrible when people die. But it's like you're scaring someone in, like, rural Wisconsin about terrorism. It's like you're fine. Unless
unless someone shoots up your movie theater.
It's domestic terrorism
is much more likely to affect you.
Right.
But so in any case, this was just 2 days after Trump had made that comment that Brent was referring to, that people weren't covering, you know, that they were under or they weren't covering the terrorist attacks that had happened. And they released this list that was just like filled with inaccuracies.
Right. It was filled with lists of terror attacks that were probably overreported, if anything.
Yeah, exactly. Because every major news aid organization immediately published a list of all of their reporting on all of these incidents.
Right.
All of them, by the way, were like things where like one person or two people died or like nobody died or things like that. That was like more than half of them involved fewer than two deaths. It was always focused on Western victims, even though people in the Middle East of Middle Eastern descent are much more likely, and Muslim people in general are much more likely to die in terrorist attacks.
Well, this is why he hasn't. This is not our country, but you know, like this is why he hasn't weighed in on the terrorist attack that was in Canada at the mosque. I mean, he doesn't care whether those people are terrorists.
Because three of the countries that are most likely to have the most deaths from terrorism. Iraq, Nigeria, and Syria are not even mentioned on his list of terrorist attacks that we didn't report on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
those lives don't matter.
No, yeah, right, exactly. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
The other two are Pakistan and Afghanistan, and they got a single mention each.
For a guy that was like such a big fan, you know, with the All Lives Matter people, you would think that they would have reached out.
Somebody said that he had All Lives Mattered.
Holocaust Remembrance
Day. Holocaust Remembrance Day. Yeah, he's been All Lives Mattering up a storm.
Yeah.
That's a... So in any case, I can't wait to see what their next fake terrorist attack is going to be. I feel like these have been my favorite news stories of the week because they are so patently absurd and so disprovable.
It's funny until you...
Until 51% of his supporters believe that the Bowling Green attack happened.
Yeah, right. Yes. That's what I really worry is this, like,
but this,
deluge of information.
I have given up on caring about his supporters because they are not a majority of voters. They are not even if Democrats come at their full sort of power, not even a majority of voters in the places where they voted him in. I feel like the people that believe that the Bowling Green terrorist attack or the Bowling Green massacre actually happened are people that never had the facts and are sort of like, they're sort of inevitably going to be thinking the wrong thing regardless of what the situation is. I feel like the larger problem is that, you know, I think there are people who can be swayed from that side to be like, okay, actually,
people can be swayed to anything. I just wish
that the number was, even if it was only 49, because then there
it was
wouldn't
51% of his supporters.
I know,
though.
But
it was
if
not
his,
the country,
no, I know, but if it's more than half of his supporters,
then
he will continue to keep doing
and
it.
And when was that
that's,
poll, though?
That's why I wish that it was that just 2% lower.
That poll might have came out, I feel like came out like shortly after
this
story broke.
Yeah, it came out right after
this. So people
broke.
Were like, yeah, I remember that, you know, whatever.
Right.
And then, but maybe now, a few weeks later, after the story's kind of digested a little bit, they'll be like, oh, I heard about that. Yeah, that was BS.
Yeah, like these stories, I think that there's a degree to which some people, like, if we continue to just, like, obsessively worry that some people are going to continue to be idiots, like, that is not going to serve us very well, because we're not going to reach those people. Those people are there. I think there are reachable people in his coalition. I think that we can reach them if we focus on things that sort of, like, impact them directly and are things that are, like, real bread and butter issues for them. I'm sure there is a way to win some of those voters back.
Yep.
I don't think
some are too far
that
gone.
This 51%
sure.
no, of voters I, is what a, I worry about is this, like, very real war on truth.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that's worrying for sure.
You know, whether it's only, you know, a handful of his supporters that believe it or not, it's sort of concerted.
Well, and it's going to at some point wear us all down, because if you were only casually paying attention, you now might think there's a Bowling Green massacre because you heard the word four times in the last week.
Well, and the other thing that's troubling about this is that I think that if they continue to do, like, I don't know if they're doing it on purpose or not, but, like, basically what his supporters are now going to think is that there are terrorist attacks happening all the time, and that they should continue to be terrified, and
his
that they
supporters
should
already thought that.
Yeah, they already
they were already scared. He seized on fears that were already there, and I've said many times before that we, the Democrats, were complicit in creating those fears, and we have never dismantled that.
This
that
goes
narrative.
Back to me for the thing with you're saying, oh, you know, domestic terrorism is a huge threat. Domestic terrorism is not a huge threat either. I mean, I really don't think that domestic terrorism...
I mean, compared
terrorism,
to, like, places with terrorism...
But to anything. I mean, what the actual odds of you being in a domestic terrorism death in America are so entirely small. It's so small. I mean, how many people a year? 50?
Oh
no, it's way more than that. It's
in
way
America?
More than that. It's, like, I think it's hundreds of thousands
of
people.
How many... I mean, last year... I mean, what was there was the nightclub shooting.
Right. But there are small mass shootings that happen
right
every
there.
Day.
Right there, I think there were like 50 people that died.
But I'm talking about like
alone.
Domestic terrorism, like radicalized domestic
but
terrorism.
But the thing is that we're
or
not
or anti-radicalized domestic terrorism.
We're not like connect like radicalized if it's just in a religious sense, maybe not. But we're
but
not
mass shooting is not
we're
necessarily
not
terrorism.
Oh, a mass shooting is always domestic terrorism.
It doesn't always have a political end,
which is the definition of terrorism,
which is I think where your number is coming from.
But it adds to a narrative of terror because it's about
mass shootings in this country.
Generating fear.
But most mass shootings are gang violence in this country. Like, by a huge majority. Almost all the killings from guns in this country.
I don't think that's true.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Almost all gun killings are inner city gun, like, deaths.
I don't think that's true at all. I think.
Yeah.
I think that places.
Chuck and I disagree on the gun issue.
Well, check it out on your own time.
Fair
but,
enough.
Yeah. It's most gun violence is gang related. Sadly. Like,
we'll fact check you next week when you're not here.
Holy shit. I mean, if you look at Chicago is terrifying. It's like a huge amount of
Chicago
deaths.
Is the sort of poster child of all of this, and Chicago is also the poster child of how gun control doesn't work if you're next to a state that doesn't have gun control.
Mm-hmm.
Because. Yeah. This is not a problem that's happening in other major cities that are surrounded by gun control.
Oh,
like,
I completely agree
on
the gun control.
That's not like
it's just that's not to say gang violence is terrorism is like we're stretching the term terrorism so thin.
I don't think we're saying
that
though. I'm saying mass shootings are terrorism. I'm saying that they add to a narrative of directionless fear that is part of a larger political narrative in this country. That is a kind of domestic terrorism that's not unique to America, but is very specific to this moment.
I see that as a very small threat, though. To people individually in this country, it's not that many deaths.
I mean, if you are literally just looking at statistics, maybe not. I'm just saying, like, if there's something to be afraid of,
now when I go to the movie theater,
right?
At some
I think
point,
about that.
Sometimes it'll enter my brain, like it'll just flood, like
totally.
Oh shit, like what
yeah,
if something happens?
But
like that's the impact, is that,
right?
Is that
exactly
soft,
that's
like,
why I'm saying it's political
of the
to
fear.
Some degree.
Things that can kill you, but that's part of. I mean, the Democrats have done that too, of saying this is a fear, this is a fear, this is a fear, and it's like. It's not that big of a – in reality, the environment's way more important as far as what's going to kill you in the next 50 years.
Right, sure,
that's not to say that there aren't other threats. I'm saying like if you're going to – but when we're going to talk about terrorism, if we're talking about terrorism as a threat,
right.
The threat from terrorism is not a threat that Muslim people are coming to America to commit, you know, terrorist attacks. The threat is that Americans are mass shooting each other at much higher rates than they used to for no reason other than that crazy people often have guns and seem to be thinking that that's the...
And some straight
and
white guys
there's
can't
some straight
get laid.
White, exactly. Like, I mean, there's the... If we're going to be afraid of terrorism, that's the terrorism to be afraid of. Foreign terrorism, Islam...
I think
these
the
are
Democrats
not things that are
have made
Americans.
A mistake in saying... We should be afraid. I think they should say we should not be afraid of this. We shall stand up for what we believe in. We shall say, if we let these immigrants in, there might be some bad eggs.
But what's more important is that we stay as Americans to our values, and instead of playing into this fear thing, because the Republicans are always going to beat the Democrats in fear mongering. Always.
Well, of course. But it's, I think that the Democrats for years have been complicit in generating fear against Muslim people.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I think that was part of my initial issue with Hillary Clinton and all the Democrats that voted to go along in the Iraq War, was I think that, those narratives were very damaging to how people in the rest of the country viewed their, you know, what they should be afraid of and what an actual threat to their lives is in a way that kind of helped generate this narrative that Trump seized on. Now, could they have seen that they were doing that? Probably, you know, like these were, this was a collection of small actions that a lot of Democrats took at a moment where everyone was very confused about what to do. But I think that to some degree, they have certainly been complicit in creating this narrative. And I say that to say that I think that we could be complicit in breaking this narrative too. We don't need to just sort of seed that there's like these terrifying people out that we can that are like a majority of people, because they're not. They're,
well, and I think we are doing that.
And I think
now,
that that's actually. I think that that's happening finally. Yeah, I mean, I think that that's what all of these movement politics ultimately like will kind of create zeitgeist wise. I mean, obviously, like protests are not happening on every street corner in Montana, but I think that once that becomes part of the national conversation, in the way that like Occupy made income inequality a part of the national conversation, there weren't Occupy protests in every city in America, but everyone learned the term 1% from it, the 99%. Like, I think that will ultimately help break some of this fear mongering. But until then, I don't think that Trump created this fear. He's seizing on it, certainly, but it was there.
No, that's true. Totally, totally.
Might be making it worse.
I mean, he might be making it worse, but it was already there, and those people are not going to be less afraid until we give them something to be less afraid for, basically.
Yeah.
In any case, moving on. More infighting amongst the Republicans.
Love it.
My favorite part of any week.
John McCain getting back to his maverickiness.
Finally. John McCain can go screw himself, because for all of his maverickiness, he's still voting with all these assholes for all this nonsense, and they are personally insulting him every step of the way. He has had his war record questioned by everyone in the Trump administration, basically, and he will step up when they say that
people who don't get caught.
That's, I know.
Yeah.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
He just prefers those kind of people.
Yeah.
Except Michael Flynn.
Right. McCain called that botched Yemen raid a failure after getting a classified briefing on it, because it was unequivocally a failure, and basically everything that could go wrong did, and they killed a bunch of civilians, including children.
And the target, like a week later, sent like a audio message being like, I'm still alive.
So Sean Spicer said that McCain and the other Republicans who had criticized, or I guess anyone who had criticized the raid, were doing a disservice to the Navy SEAL who died.
Yeah.
So John McCain then hit the news to be like, I'm a prisoner of war, and there were failed attempts to rescue me and other people like me that are not like a mark on the record of the people who carried them out. Like, that's part of fucking war.
Yeah.
Like, you sometimes fail at missions.
Like, don't try and go in on John McCain.
No,
like, on this.
Over being
of all things.
Yeah.
You know what, though? It worked. He went in on John McCain. Should have drug him through the coals, but he didn't.
What's he got to lose? Is John McCain running again? Like,
I know, but
he's going to run forever.
John McCain is a wimp.
Yeah.
He knows he has taken principled stances on so many of the things that Trump has dragged him through the mud on before.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as they were in power, he was like, never mind, I'll shut up. And now every time he does question them, it's like in this lame way where he's still doing everything they want him to do.
So I'm gonna stick up for John McCain for just a second. Because this is not the first time, actually, in the last 3 weeks that he said publicly, whether it be on a Sunday show or just in front of any microphone, that he has disagreed with something that the president has done. We're only 3 weeks in. It seems like 3 years.
Right.
I do think that John McCain is one of the hopes to be one of the thinking people if shit gets so bad that he will country first, I think. Now, there's hopefully enough of them that to sort of join up with the resistance, if you will. He's not there yet, certainly, and I'm not saying that he is, I do think he's one that could be there eventually, like this shit gets so fucking bad that it's like, oh my god, we are turning into I do think that he would be there to not let this turn into sort of like total fascism.
Yeah.
Well, I know. I don't know.
Where's his spine? Like,
right.
I mean,
he's been
not on Team Spine yet.
And he's somebody who, you know, he's gone along with bad ideas before.
For sure.
He certainly has plenty of them himself.
Yes, he does.
I just like, I want someone like John McCain who theoretically is very concerned about national security and very, you know, it's like I was saying last week, these people who I thought were very principled people have gotten walked all over and said nothing basically, except for like every once in a while, something that's essentially a direct attack on him, he'll respond to. It's an attack on his record, ultimately. Like these are he cares very deeply about being remembered as a hero.
Yeah.
So things that attack his heroic nature, certainly he will respond to. But I mean, these people that, you know, theoretically were so principled that they often couldn't see logic and reason in the last 8 years are like out the window with all of that. And he is one of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that like there's something that happens when you run for office, especially the highest office, so many times where you're just surrounded by this cadre of people that are telling you how to speak and telling you to keep towing this line and telling you stay on message and do this, do that, that it eventually destroys any sense of self that you have and any sense of right and wrong. And you see it on both sides. You see it time and again. And you're in Congress for that long. It kind of... You lose everything. You lose who you are. You lose your principles. There's very few people who have been in there as long as he has who have maintained them, especially ones who have run for the presidency.
Well, yeah. I mean,
true.
This still, like, just if then his principles are at least sort of like American democracy. Like, this is like the like structure of government still is a principle you should hold highly, even if you have no sense of
also,
self.
That's where I see like, the way the wind's blowing. Like, Trump is getting his numbers are not getting better. If you went against him now, you could be like, one of the leaders.
Oh, I know. That comes I heard on the radio on the way over here that the Gallup is doing. They always do like their daily tracking poll or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was at 55 disapproval today, which is the highest it's been. But like that's
also a majority disapproval. Right there, a few weeks in is very unusual.
Yeah, usually
unprecedented.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, usually, I saw a graph of like all the recent presidents and like how long it took them to get to like a majority disapproval. Yeah, it usually.
Takes about 1,000 days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we were like 8 days in and everyone was on the record.
Fuck this shit.
I know.
What I'm really mad about is that Democrats aren't making a bigger deal about how badly the Yemen thing was botched.
I mean, they were just sort of like, meh.
I'll tell you why I disagree with that. It's because he's not in charge of that. At the end of the day, it's his generals and the people on the ground that do that. He
couldn't even be bothered to get out of bed and take his ass to the Situation Room.
They
do. Fuck you.
There's a lot of special operations that goes on every day. Right. You can't expect the president to be involved in every single.
This was his
special...
first.
This was his first raid or first mission. Military mission.
Right.
You don't
sort of enter into it without all the information haphazardly.
This is
and then not.
But we're talking. I sort of get what you're saying, but also we're talking. Just politic-wise here, I think, why they didn't do that.
It cuts both ways, though. There's so many things that went wrong, I'm sure, in raids in Democratic administrations. You can't hold the president responsible for failings of the military of that nature.
We
sent our military into a situation.
What would he have done if he was watching?
That was a losing one. Well, he wouldn't have he wouldn't have called for the mission in the first place.
His generals
just
said
like Barack Obama didn't.
Right.
No, Barack Obama didn't do it because it wasn't ready.
Right, and it still wasn't. What had changed?
I think
he went to swing his dick and he failed.
I disagree.
Yeah. Classic
generals
Trump move.
Who are career generals, that's their career, that's their life. They said this is good. They said we can do this. As much as I despise Trump, I'm not going to blame him for things he didn't do. And it's like, he couldn't have looked at that plan and been like, oh, this is a bad one. Trust me, guys. I know. I've been on The Apprentice. Like, he doesn't have that kind of experience to judge a military thing. He has to listen to his advisors who brought it to him and said, this is something we need to do.
Well,
for
then
security.
Why aren't we holding them accountable?
I think maybe from a political perspective, there are more expedient ways to get public ire going. And that's maybe why they're not. Like, because a botched raid doesn't really get the Democratic masses frothing at the mouth, whereas like getting rid of Obamacare does, or getting, you know, banning refugees, like things like that that are more likely to generate dissent and generate confusion, which I think maybe is like a smarter thing for them to be focusing on, just because they don't have any power right now essentially to stop anything, and so fomenting dissent, you know, amongst their followers
bigger hear about Benghazi for so long.
That's
well, I know.
True.
I mean,
know.
Are you? I mean, no, I know.
Yeah, right.
And that this I don't think the Democrats are good at generating fake scandals, not their style. And this was not going to be a fake scandal, but I think it would have sounded too much like an echo of Benghazi.
And like
for them, I feel like their people just don't
like what
care
McCain said. It's like missions go bad.
Like, it happens all the time. Sure. And it's terrible, and it's never good, but it's like, you can't, it's really hard to start taking the military to task for it. It's like, they're doing their best. Like, they're not ever going in there, like,
I'm saying that they weren't sent in there.
Responsibly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that is a problem.
Yes. Well, I would hope it's a problem for everyone. Meanwhile, returning to the leakiest administration in history.
Yes.
Our favorite part of this administration, we have only one favorite part, is that the number of leaks that are coming out of the White House is so unprecedented and amazing that we are bathing in gossip at every moment.
Such good gossip.
The gossip is amazing.
Page six every day.
Every single day, the major newspapers of the nation are essentially just page six. Right. Yes, exactly.
And this is a thing that really happened, because you're probably not going to believe it if you haven't heard about it yet.
Yeah, this is a real thing. We did not make this up. It's not a cartoon.
Yeah. Apparently, right. Yes, that's the first note on the document. This is a thing that really happened. So apparently Trump called his national security advisor, Mike Flynn. Also, we're going to get to fucking Mike Flynn.
Yeah, we have some thoughts on him, but continue.
Anyway, he called him at 3 a.m.
That's the middle of the night.
That's
right, human time.
You up?
Right. I know. I know. To ask him whether the strong dollar, whether having a strong dollar was good or bad for the U.S. economy. Now, first off, know that already.
Right. Second off,
don't call your national security
advisor to ask about the economy.
So, at 3 a.m.
So funny is that the Trump administration has been pretty unequivocal that a strong dollar is bad for the U.S. economy and has been saying it all over the place. So for months now.
He probably just panicked that he'd been wrong the entire time.
I mean, he should have panicked that he'd been wrong the whole time. But he said he said it in interviews for the Wall Street Journal. Steve Mnuchin has said it. I think that there was like a call. There was something that Trump had said about China and Germany, which was about them using improper tactics to devalue their currencies against the dollar to strengthen the dollar to screw us over, because you know how China's out to get us. Mm-hmm. They have repeatedly asserted that a strong dollar is bad for the U.S. economy. So I love that he would wake up the wrong person to ask a simple question about the economy that he already has been clearly on one side of.
Right. Google it, bro.
Right? I know, right?
What? And always on the fucking internet. Right. Google it.
I know, right?
Ask Twitter.
Yeah. And Mike Flynn basically told him to do that. I mean, he didn't tell him to Google it, but he said, call somebody on your economic team. Like, what?
Jesus Christ.
Why are you calling me at 3 a.m. to ask me about the dollar?
Well, he actually had the call waiting over. He was on the other line with the Russian ambassador. So it was really...
Exactly.
Yeah, it was busy. Speaking of Russia, there was another hilarious leak slash very concerning for our national security leak. He had his first call as president with Putin, and apparently Putin raised the possibility of extending the START treaty, which was like our nuclear non-proliferation treaty with them that we signed in 2010. So Trump stops, asks his aides what the START treaty is, and then told Putin it was a bad deal and we were going to renegotiate.
He basically was like, mute.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. START treaty. What the fuck's he talking about? What's the START treaty?
No one's briefing him before these calls?
Well, he's not. He's not taking the brief.
He's not reading memos. We've heard that. Yeah, that's exactly. One of the leaks, too. He's not reading
nine bullet points only.
Nine bullet points.
Yeah. He also, in one of the debates, called this treaty the Startup Treaty, but has referred to it in the past. But he incorrectly asserted that it allowed Russia to continue to produce nuclear warheads while we were not allowed to. So he also had previously known about it wrongly. And then I couldn't remember the wrong thing that he announced in his debate performance. He also apparently talked about his popularity with Putin.
Oh, that's good.
God.
Putin must be like, what happened here? I thought I was being an evil genius.
I know.
And now this guy wants us to be in a nuclear war.
He's like too dumb to be useful.
I know.
Right?
It's amazing.
I was reading this thing today saying like we should need to start talking more about Trump's mental health. But we also need to talk about the fact that he's a fucking idiot.
I know, right?
I don't think he's mentally unstable. I think he's a dumb person. I think he's like a dumb narcissist.
He's a narcissist.
He's a narcissist,
which is some sort of...
Right. I guess that is a disorder of some sort. But I mean, that's a disorder that some people function with.
I have it. I'm highly functional.
Right.
Every guy I've ever dated.
He's dumb. He doesn't read. Like, that should be...
He's not intellectually curious.
No. That's true.
That's very true.
That's so far out of the realm of things he could be that I feel I would just like him.
You're never going to get a book list for
intellectually
him.
Capable.
Not even
like curious is like that seems like too much of a dream. That's a stretch.
Yeah.
But so in any case, normally before a call like the one with Putin, you get a written memo. You get your staff briefs you. Right. Your Russia expert would brief you about this.
Yeah.
He did not get a briefing from his Russia expert. And also, I'm sure, didn't, if he received a memo, didn't read it.
Right.
So,
he was playing with nesting dolls the entire Cold War, so I thought it was...
Right. Hopefully, Rex Tillerson has said he's in favor of the START Treaty, so I'm hoping that whoever the last person to get a word in with Trump is about this.
And you would hope that it would be your Secretary of State.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's before him. Calling.
Well, they must be like, hey, Putin, we're about to put you on with the president. Stay on the line after the call. Right. Just for like...
talk for a moment.
Just for 5 minutes. It'll be... Trust me. All
right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, like, I don't want to end up in a nuclear war with Russia.
Wow, nice. Way to take a stand.
I know, right?
That's my brave stance of today. I know I'm going out on a limb, and I'm sorry if I offend anyone.
I don't think Russia wants to go to nuclear war
No, exactly. Obviously, Putin isn't interested in nuclear war. He wants to secretly be involved in our elections and affect our sanction policy towards Russia.
The fact that Democrats still aren't bitching about that is really making me mad.
There are so many foreign policy and national security questions that are just not... We don't even... It's like people don't even seem to have time to talk about them because they're just like... throwing too much at us, and I feel like it's getting to the point where like we're going to be behind the curve on these things, so we're not going to be able to make like, a big deal because everyone will have accepted what's been happening for too long.
When you're drinking from a water hose, you're going to swallow
you have to admire the Republican in that, like, when they went after the email thing, when they went after Benghazi, they are single-minded attacking one thing, and that's what the Democrats need to do. They need to find the two or three things that they think are the worst and the where they'll get the furthest and just go after
I think
them.
They've been doing that on the domestic front but you need to more do that effectively. On, but yeah, they yeah. just, they
Russia,
have, I think.
Russia undermined our elections.
Yeah. yeah
they have wagered
stop,
that
full
they.
Full stop. Full
yeah.
stop.
Yeah. Well, I think, what? Honestly, I mean, my thought on this as a strategy is because I think that that is like a thing that we should be able to talk about and should be a thing that people are concerned about. I think that it was used to not great effect during the election because there were so many crazy things going on that it almost sounded like conspiracy theory at the time. Mm-hmm. And it kind of like poisoned the waters a little bit for Democrats to discuss this with sort of fresh eyes, because I think that now that we like know that this actually happened, there was almost like a late start on getting a jump on being angry about that. And so now it's like there's they have kind of like no like work, like they don't have like a sort of PR offensive planned already, and it, now it's like getting to the point where it's been going on for so long
that
it would feel
like,
arbitrary
well,
to pick it up
well,
now.
We're actually this is still in the mix, and actually the reason that anybody is still talking about it is not because the Democrats are talking about it; it's because John McCain and Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, no, exactly.
That's the thing is like this is an issue that Republicans would back you on.
Yeah,
yeah.
And well, and we have to not
care
look
about
fools.
This. I don't
well, right,
care.
Of course.
Like, honestly,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't
this
care
is not
what
a party.
Of,
thing.
It's not a partisan issue. This is about the fundamental.
Right, like.
It's the fabric of our country.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
about so
the democratic
crazy.
Process working
yeah,
and
exactly.
being a thing. It's about being able to call ourselves a democracy.
This whole thing with undermining institutions and the democratic process and just sort of truth in general, it's a recipe for disaster.
Well, and it's so hard to kind of like. It's hard to sort of figure out how to attack it because it's so unprecedented in the political process to happen in this many ways at once.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like
it's
figuring
like a
out,
beast.
Yeah,
like
figuring out what
restart.
To do and whether or not you do triage on the things that are like institutions that people do recognize and can sort of like conceive of missing, you know, or whether or not you sort of have a larger philosophical discussion about what it means
right.
to be the
what,
American
right.
democracy
America
that we
is.
Yeah, what
yeah.
America is.
Well,
it's like so much.
We need that, I think, in this country.
Well,
still,
probably.
We're still running this country, you know, based on the tenets of people that had slaves and wore wigs.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like at a certain point, we need to take a hard look at this country and maybe, you know, another convention or something drastic.
I don't want to do that in this moment in time.
No,
I'm really
right.
worried
about. But maybe
about...
4 years later, after the country sees how bad it can get, maybe that is the time. Maybe
well,
that's when we'll have
we
the
We all know I'm in favor of abolishing the Senate. I don't know if you guys knew that. That was an old position
Senate.
Of mine from years past.
Well, that's fun.
So just
no
house?
House of Lords. I'm a parliament.
Okay.
Hawk.
Okay.
I say this as someone who's always lived in big states and therefore has felt
right.
repeatedly like the will of a majority of people in the nation has been undercut by the fact that big states have big cities and or big cities are often in big states because they have to be. And therefore, there is no way for a majority of people to actually exercise their will.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that I don't necessarily think that maybe there needs to be some other check and balance in the mix that serves a function. like the Senate does to sort of check the House being like maybe nuts from time to time. And obviously I would require impartial redistricting in order to make the House of actual fair representation of what, but the country was founded to give purposely to give an extra voice to rural voters. Like it was specifically designed so that rural voters would have an extra voice because cities were seen as like immoral places where people weren't making anything.
Well,
or whatever.
Also nobody will do anything for them. If I mean, if there was no Senate, who would do anything for like South Dakota?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like though at this point we aren't, you know, a majority of Americans live in cities. A majority of Americans live in large states. And the fact that we don't seem to be able to in any way exercise the will of a majority of Americans at any level of the federal government concerns me. And I feel like the Senate has is sort of serves the function of, regardless of who else is in power, always being a sort of like, I mean, and I know that the House has been sort of.
Well, and at least as of recently, you know, the Senate is always supposed to sort of be the adults in the room.
Right. And they're not acting like the adults.
That's no longer. They're no longer functioning either. So, like, it's sort of, you know, recently normal that the House doesn't function.
Right.
But the Senate is supposed to sort of function in spite of them. Right. And they ain't.
We're a little in the weeds on this, but I think the bigger problem is that the will of the people, even for rural people, doesn't go through.
Yeah, I mean that's true.
It's not like the mob
scenes at the in-district meetings.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my gosh.
Right. The will of the people that Jason Chavez
is right there, and
Chavez.
They're running fucking scared.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, it's sort of amazing because
But they're all paid protestors, though.
Jason. Yeah. Right. No. Who's paying them?
I want my Soros money.
Right?
Like, if that was a job,
I would be great at it, by the way.
That's not a... It's,
no.
I just...
I though
when the will of the people, actually, they have to be face-to-face with it, they run scared.
Yeah.
They know that they're not...
Well, and this is like to see the difference between watching one of those hearings where Tea Party protesters came out and watching a hearing where Democratic voters come out, or just people who don't feel represented by this iteration of the Republican Party. Like, the numbers are so much greater, and the whole scene is so much more raucous because everyone in the room is furious when it's not Tea Party. Like, the Tea Partiers were just like a few people that were like causing trouble for everyone.
Yeah.
Like, there weren't that many of them, and they actually were paid in a lot of instances. Like, they were actually being bankrolled. Like, this is like so much crazier to watch.
Yeah.
Because I was used to seeing those Tea Party meetings get, you know, broken up by protesters.
But you watched, like, Utah and Tennessee.
That Chavez meeting was great television.
Oh,
and I highly recommend
good.
It. But back to Mike Flynn.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I know.
But we had to talk about the...
I'll pick your brain about that some other time.
Yeah.
Is that interesting?
He's a big liar. Guys.
What?
Fat liar.
Yeah. But in a way that it's...
Undermines our national security.
Yes, exactly.
Is the word you're looking for.
Right. There you go. Yes. So, we all remember that there was some discussion. So, back in December, after we sort of, like, did take action with the Russians meddling in our election, in the way that we did, anyway, where we sort of got kicked out some of the diplomats that are here and things like that. That was, like, in late December. It was while President Obama was still in office. Usually, when something like that happens, there is always a tit-for-tat. Russia will do the same thing. They will do something different. They will do they'll have some sort of like their own sanction against us. So the White House was sort of bracing for that later in the day. It never came. It did not come the next day. And then it never actually came at all. So we started thinking,
what happened here?
Why might have that been the case? And apparently it's because Mike Flynn was talking to them, telling them not to worry about it, guys.
Yeah.
That's... What
seems
happened?
Legit. Yeah.
Just
a random private citizen.
This is our
by
national
way, at
right
the time.
At the time. Yeah. He's currently our national security advisor.
He was not then.
No, he was not.
He
then.
Was just a guy.
Yeah.
It's like if Brent called Russia
to
alert them as to what they should and should not be doing
in
terms of diplomatic relations with the US.
I'd feel better about that.
I mean, that would be a much safer situation. He knows what the START treaty is.
Yeah, but he has claimed that Pence claimed that he did not do this. So either he lied to Pence, or Pence...
Which is another concern.
Right, or Pence knew about it and lied. But,
or Pence
you know,
didn't know.
But this
either
been a,
everyone
or,
is
right,
lying,
exactly,
or
he
Mike
lied to
Pence,
Pence
is
didn't know.
Being lied to. These are both concerning, considering that he's the vice president.
Yeah. So this is problematic for just very obvious reasons.
Yeah, that we don't really need to go into too much detail on. But yeah, Mike Flynn was the subject of so much news this week that I feel like he is... I'm trying to figure out who the, like, big sort of name villains are going to be in the Trump administration? Like, who are going to be the people that we, like, keep such a close eye on?
Yeah, we've already got Steve Bannon.
Like, yeah. Steve Bannon's there.
He's on watch. Dick Cheney's, your Rumsfeld.
Right, exactly. Yeah, like, right, who's going to be our Karl Rove?
Yeah.
You know.
Stephen Miller. Is, like, flying under the radar, but it's sort of, I think people are starting to pay attention now.
Also, do you know he's only 31?
31. Well, you can tell. You can tell when
he
talks.
I mean, he looks young and sounds young, yeah.
I'm like, boo-boo.
Yeah.
Bye.
Baby.
No, you're a little baby.
Baby child.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm a little, also, like, I don't need some fucking 31-year-old idiot from, you know, the Breitbart universe to be literally having any ideas that touch the White House. Like,
yeah.
I mean, he's not even, he doesn't have the life experience to know how dumb he is.
Yeah. Oh, God, here's another good story.
Yes.
Kellyanne Conway had another
rough week.
Rough week. Every week with her is a rough week.
It really is. She basically gave an on-air commercial for Ivanka Trump's clothing line.
A thing that you're just not supposed to do when you're in the White House.
Right. Not only are you not supposed to do it, you actually can't.
You're not allowed to. Yeah. See, Trump himself is allowed to, though. Because he's allowed to do anything he wants. Because he is above all ethics legislation, apparently.
Right.
Why is that oversight allowed?
I don't know.
Why has that happened?
Yeah.
In any case, he tweeted at Nordstrom's, which dropped Ivanka Trump's line this week, or last week, saying, "My daughter Ivanka has been treated so unfairly by Nordstrom. She's a great person, always pushing me to do the right thing. Terrible."
Right. She might be the only person who's pushing him to do that.
There was actually a sentence missing. It says, "Always pushing me to do the right thing, but I always do something terrible."
Well, and also, I read an article this week that people are noticing that his craziest tweets always get sent during Shabbos. So, like, it's when Jared and Ivanka are not around.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
Which is so funny.
Right, because they are supposedly the two, like,
the only
they talk him out of that, like,
things.
Anti-LGBT executive order that he was going to do. And, like, it's like, yeah, when they're around,
things are,
and they're the last person to have talked to him, is when he's at his sanest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This, by the way, this tweet led to a lot of great emails amongst my family congratulating ourselves for having taken drastic action against the Trumps. So I feel like we're in spirit. Contributing.
Yeah, Nordstrom's.
You know?
That's good
right. work. But so he posted this message on his personal account, but then he retweeted or resent it from the White House account. So the White House has now censured Nordstrom's for dropping his daughter's line.
So ridiculous.
So it's not technically illegal, but it raises some ethics concerns.
It
does. Well, the Kellyanne thing is.
The Kellyanne thing happened after that, and it was when she was she was asked about this during a Fox and Friends interview. And so she got on air and said, the quote is, "It's a wonderful line. I own some of it. I'm going to give a free commercial here. Go buy it today, everybody. You can find it online." That, because she is a staff member and not the president herself, is actually illegal.
Right.
And does violate the ethics office's regulations on what, you know, executive branch staff can do. They're not allowed to give commercials, essentially, for products they
use. What makes you think that was actually a commercial? Oh, wait, the part where she says it's a commercial.
Right. It's when she says, "I'm going to give a free commercial here."
Okay.
Yeah. So the regulation prohibits using public office for private gain of oneself or one's friends or relatives.
Yes.
So under the regulation, the Office of Government Ethics director can notify Kellyanne of the violation and ask them to investigate and recommend. They can recommend discipline, but they can't get rid of her. So I feel, and the disciplines are like suspension, loss of pay, or no, they can get rid of her. But for something like this, they said they would just issue a warning.
But guess what? They are actually going to do that because
they should
issue a warning.
Because you would think that Jason Chaffetz, who is the head of the government, or who is the head of the ethics,
the House Oversight
right? Who would be sort of in charge of issuing it, would have laughed this off as nothing. Maybe he took a note from that town hall to actually do his job, which is what they were chanting at him the entire time. Because Elijah Cummings sent a letter to him and said, "Hey, you should look at this," and he's going to. No. Who would have thought?
No, nobody.
Nobody. Literally nobody.
Literally nobody.
Exactly.
Yeah, because they redid the seal for that, the ethics, the government ethics thing, and it's now in air quotes ethics. It's really weird.
The government
ethics.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, so they are actually going to investigate it.
But the White House is on it.
Kellyanne's not going anywhere.
Because I feel like it's not going to happen.
Because she's been, what was it? What was the word that they used? Oh, she's been counseled.
Yes.
Guys.
Mm-hmm.
As Sean Spicer says.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. She's been counseled.
I want to know who counseled her.
I know. And what did they say during this counseling?
Mm.
Yikes.
What was their counseling session?
Aren't you guys just excited to see who's going to get fired first?
Yes. We've been
Death Pool having in terms of like, Spicer, yeah. I think is not long for this
Spicer.
World.
I think Spicer, sure. I was thinking Rance Priebus, but I feel like he's pulled it out. I have a dark horse candidate.
Ooh, tell me more.
I think that Bannon could be the first to go.
Oh.
And I know that's crazy.
That is.
But they don't have such a long track record together. And he was very embarrassed by Bannon's blatant attempt to seize all this control without telling him mm-hmm. what he was actually doing.
Right.
Bannon has a history of saying things about Donald Trump in the past, such as he's like our puppet. So and in media, in Vanity Fair, he said that, and he said he was a blunt object in Vanity Fair. So I feel like the winds could turn on him very rapidly at any moment.
The more popular he gets, actually, and the bigger of a name he gets, the more that's going to scare Trump. Because Trump
absolutely.
Does not like to share the stage with anyone.
Absolutely. So I think that's what that those Time President magazine, Bannon hashtags were all about. Were about embarrassing him. Mm-hmm. And I think it could work.
That's it. But who do you replace Bannon with?
Nobody.
There's no one.
Don't need
because it's not a real position.
It's a made-up job that Obama used
no
so
one.
That Valerie Jarrett could have somewhere to hang out.
But Bannon, I feel like, has his hands on the tiller so much more than anyone else in the administration.
But that, I think, they don't care about a loss of institutional knowledge in that administration.
I'm just terrified. At least Bannon's, like, trying. Like, what's going to... I'll just do it myself. Like, I don't know what, like, Trump would do. Like, I have no...
Well, I feel like someone else would certainly end up taking the sort of work from... Mm-hmm. Like, Bannon's work, such as it is, would certainly fall on someone else. Because mm-hmm. Trump is a lazy bum and is, like, definitely not going to do it.
Yeah.
But I could see, like, a Jared Kushner-type person coming into the... I mean, those people cycle in and out so fast that I'm not that worried about it. But I feel like...
That's
their relationship is very fragile.
Right. And we can't actually be far from a firing,
no.
I don't think. I mean, I know I think they know that they know it's too early. But when you think about his campaign, I mean, he turned that over. How many campaign managers did he have?
I think we could start cycling some people back in, too.
And they were, like, every few months. And also, it's sort of, like, widely known that, you know, they, like, the White House years are, like, dog years. So you think... about the amount of it in the span of time of his campaign that he had three or four campaign managers. I mean, it's only been 3 weeks, so it's basically like about
time.
It's about time to fire someone.
I feel a little dirty about this, guys, and I'm not proud of it, but I really want him to get on, like, in front of, at the, you know, the big desk, whatever that is, you know, the big fancy desk in the Oval Office, and have the cameras there, and I want him to do the "you're fired."
Yeah,
that's a dirty thought, I know but I kind of want him to do it that way.
He wants to do it that way too. Let's be honest
with
ourselves.
That's certainly
his plan.
Yeah.
If that's not allowed, it's not because he didn't try.
Because at least, you know, play the part.
Yeah.
Play the part.
We elected the host of The Apprentice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's fucking have it.
Yeah. Oh, boy. He's about to release his tax plan.
You guys
it's
excited
be,
about his tax
quote,
plan?
Phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
Tax returns?
No.
No.
Unfortunately, not those.
No.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we're just at more dumb ideas.
Although I've been reading something about how there's like some house law that like nobody's
loophole.
Ever used
yes.
that they're going to be able to like force him to
possibly
give them
so.
To
oh,
him
yeah, Jerry
something.
Nadler filed something
yeah.
with
mm-hmm.
the
so
president recently.
Who knows whether that's a real thing or not, but
yeah,
it might be.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we'll see.
Nothing
is a real thing
rules,
anymore.
Let's pull out some on our side, too.
Yeah, there's probably obscure rules that can be used to justify nearly any action at this point.
But, you know, he's always a wordsmith, Trump, and he said, here's his quote. He said, "We're going to be announcing something over the next week, I would say 2 or 3 weeks, that will be phenomenal in terms of tax."
Chaucer-esque. It's
oh,
really beautiful.
Phenomenal in terms of tax.
And he also said, it's going to be lowering the overall tax burden on American businesses big league.
He knows his brand.
Classic. He does.
He knows his brand and he's consistent with it.
Yep. Certainly didn't stop saying big league after everybody made fun of him for it and couldn't figure out whether he was saying big league or bigly.
Bigly, yeah, I know. I still can't. He's saying big league with a New York accent, and so I heard it correctly the whole time and still can't hear bigly.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to be
that's
in
how
on
you
the
say
joke
it's coffee.
With everyone.
It's
yeah, exactly.
coffee.
It's bigly.
C-W-A.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't bother me.
This is sad, and this is a thing that is not shocking because Lila and I have been telling you this for the entire time that
but
we have been on the podcast.
But unfortunately, most people who serve in government, including people on the left, often don't seem to know
this. Republicans are always obsessed with business people running the government because they think that the government
should
be Right, exactly. The government should be run more like a business. And it turns out Trump has become, in more leaks, by the way, we found this out, because yeah, there was obviously a political story where they talked to like 12 people within the White House who all spoke on the condition of anonymity. He's really mad and sad that you can't run the government like a business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's hard know. To be aww, the president, wah, right? Wah.
It's hard.
It's so much work. They're yeah. asking so much of him.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. He thought he's the federal bureaucracy apparently doesn't suit him.
Well, maybe this will finally put to rest the stupid
notion
that you should run government like a business.
Like they yes. have anything to do with each other or even similar goals at all. Like, absolutely that's always been such same. An absurd it's a concept.
Stupid approach. Yeah. Now we've tested it. Let's move
well,
on.
Well, I think yeah. I think
it only took 3 weeks to figure out that it was ridiculous.
You could say it's, I want someone with really strong leadership and organizational skills, those are like words in a you business.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But Trump right. has neither of those.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe a better businessman yeah. would be better suited for yeah. the job.
If you don't run it like a business, the reason they go to businessmen, I could the argument right. could be made.
Just
is
don't
that
pick
competent.
A businessman who right. just is right. obsessed like with Mitt going Romney. Bankrupt.
Yeah.
Don't, you know,
yeah, like, he was competent.
Don't pick the world's right. most incompetent businessman right. exactly. who is famous for being the most right. incompetent person.
The guy who runs the big league chewing gum would probably be better businessman wise yeah. to run the country.
Yeah. But so yeah. The leak situation is leading to great revelations, such as that Donald Trump thinks, you know, that simple questions and policy and personnel are really just, I mean, that is asking really like simple yes. questions and doesn't understand simple things about policy yeah. and personnel, and can't deal with conversations instead, that have details
gonna,
in them.
I was going to say, and instead of learning them in detailed conversations, he will just immediately change the subject
yes.
to seem in control all the
yes.
time.
Yes.
So instead of learning, he just quickly, you know, pivots.
Yeah. Classic leadership skills, yeah. you guys.
Did
yeah.
you guys see that baseball game yesterday? I was really... Sorry, I was trying to pivot. I'm not as good at it. I'm not as good, guys.
Well, yeah. he's just so insecure. He's a sad, yeah. insecure boy.
Right, and this is all yeah. about his own personal ego. Totally. So,
right,
like, there's
and,
no...
you know, when you feel insecure, you lash out or you shut down.
Yeah.
You know, and...
it's leading to low morale.
Yeah, well, and that's exactly what he's doing because all of these people also talked about, like, that working in the White House right now is like a... It's like a powder keg.
Yeah.
Like,
I can't even imagine.
Everybody's afraid for their jobs. Also, nobody knows what their jobs are.
Right.
Is another thing that we found out in this Politico piece is that, like, all the job detail, like, it's everything is very undefined. It's just people sort of, like, trying to figure it out as they go. Shocking. Yeah, look busy. Uh-huh. Yeah. Put on your busy face.
When I was a PA, I learned a lot of things about looking busy, and I'm going to share them right now so that the White House staff has something to do.
Yeah.
If you are carrying a stack of papers and just walking really fast, no one will ever stop to ask you a question.
Yeah.
If you could... Extra bonus if you can be on your phone while this is happening. Because even if you're just talking to your mom, that's fine.
Yeah.
And you can also bonus walk up to any craft service table in the city of LA if you do that and just eat whatever you damn well please.
I feel like we're kind of like if you took like House of Cards, Veep, and then maybe like Platoon and you mix them all. Yeah. That is like the
this is so close.
A little bit
to
of the office,
the Veep,
probably.
Yeah.
To the Veep White House. Kirby and yet they were so much more competent.
Yeah, they got things done.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's madness.
Really?
So in any case, hopefully these leaks continue.
Yeah.
Some of them coming directly from Donald Trump.
Oh my god, this was a good one.
Donald Trump, apparently not famous for his knowledge of Twitter lingo, despite being basically glued to Twitter at all the time. He tweeted this week, big increase in traffic into our country from certain areas, while our people are far more vulnerable. Boy, that's hard to say. As we wait for what should be easy D.
Easy D is my favorite kind of D.
It's, yeah, I know.
I know, the best Twitter response was, my straight lady friends tell me most D is easy D.
Yep. Oh, boy.
Apparently he meant decision. Easy decision.
Oh, I thought he meant defense. Or defeat. Oh, did he? Oh, did he mean? Oh, we didn't even know.
While our people are far more vulnerable as we wait for what should be an easy...
Decision.
Decision?
Yeah, because it's
it's in
about
regards
the ban.
To the ban. Yeah, right, oh.
No, you guys, it wasn't clear even
oh,
if you were...
Defense,
you were...
I was thinking defense. Like
it was just as clear as...
Go D.
It was just as clear as Sean Spicer meeting Orlando when he said Atlanta.
Yes, exactly.
I thought he just misspelled Easy E. You know, like, it should be like Easy E.
Yeah.
Were you ever caught stepping out?
No. While we're waiting for... Easy E, we're waiting for you. Come back.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly.
Oh, boy.
And then in final news, there was a story on Politico that maybe is just wishful thinking from a fanboy. I couldn't really tell. that was it's by Matt Latimer, and it's based on no proof about how Hillary Clinton is definitely going to run for office again.
Yeah, I thought he hated her in that. Like, it was like bitter.
Yeah, he
seemed, it was a little bitter.
It was a little bitter, but it also, like, the things that he's pointing to were the kinds of things that people were pointing to when they were saying she was going to run for mayor of New York, where it was like anything that she did became part of this narrative. Like, she, you know, it was based largely on them ending the Clinton Global Initiative, but also that she's getting a book deal. Like, of course she's fucking getting a book deal. What else is she so busy
with
right now?
Why would she buy a new pantsuit if she's like, not running for the presidency,
like, right?
It was just like, you know, the fact that she's Twitter trolling Trump. Like, that's what anyone with a large constituency should be doing right now.
That's what,
like,
everyone's doing.
Any American citizen who has millions of followers like Hillary Clinton should be trolling Trump right now. Exactly. That should be their main goal. So,
yeah, but no one else who's trolling Trump actually is the reason he's in office. So it's like maybe be a little sensitive.
But, well, hopefully she kept on that girl that she seems to have kept on whoever was doing all of her funny tweets before. Mm-hmm. I feel like she's still, every once in a while, she just gets a really cutting
bomb.
Tweet.
She sort of went away for a while, and then she, which I can understand and am glad about. But I know. Yeah, exactly.
I kept trying to read Donald Trump's books, but they all end at chapter 11.
Hey.
My job, Hillary.
Yeah. But I'm down for the Twitter trolling.
Oh, yes.
And even non-Twitter trolling, if she wants to. I mean, but like,
I feel like I would have been down for her to start trolling him literally at any point.
I would have been down for her to freaking lead the women's march.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. I know, I was surprised and kind of disappointed that she didn't make
it. But, you know, I get
that.
I get it. Yeah. I'm not excited about this, though, and I was a huge Hillary Clinton supporter, and just, like,
no, yeah.
No.
Well, the one I was
going
to say,
like,
the one
moment
thing that
is the moment is gone.
The one thing that the one thing that I will say about her is that she will, and maybe she is thinking about it. And I would say, once you've won a national election by 3 million votes, why would you not think about it? So, like, on some level, like, I get thinking about it. But the one thing that you can say about Hillary Clinton is that she's, like, often very calculated. She will probably pull this to within an inch of its life, and I think that she will. I think that she will probably see, and it might sadden her, but I think she will probably see that this is not a great idea,
like,
through
though,
some means or another.
They often ask the wrong questions when they're pulling this.
Well,
I just want to be like, Hillary, it's not you, it's me.
Right.
I was
going to
say,
like,
right?
This wasn't the moment. The moment was wrong.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like, I mean, we came out real strong on those rumors that she thought about running for mayor, and no one even knows if those are true. But I feel like I'm coming out real strong on her doing anything other than, I think she would make a great chief of staff to somebody else. She is so good with the details. She's really good at figuring out how to advance larger policy goals with small moves.
This is what she would do.
She doesn't want to do
this
that.
This is what she would do every
time.
No,
of course not.
She would,
that's an ego thing.
As
I mean,
the
that's
president,
like,
the president would go, oh, I'm thinking about doing this. And she'd go, not how I would do it.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, I feel like that her skill set is really suited to something that's like in the policy beat.
Yeah.
And that
start a think tank.
She's not leading a movement here anymore. Like, there's no movement for her to lead.
She was handed
a movement, and she couldn't, you know, bring the movement home. So, like, and the movement's now happening without her.
Just
so
keep doing the talks, rake in that money.
Yeah.
Just live life.
Do you got grandchildren?
Just
set up
to, like,
a college
enjoy
fund.
Enjoy her life.
I do too.
Yeah.
She
happy.
Should.
I want her God's sake.
She sacrificed so much of her personal life.
Like,
totally.
It's just like, you
go
know,
and
you.
After,
go be a troll.
And after decades of just getting
you people.
And after, I know. And after decades of, like, just getting
hammered,
dragged,
yeah,
you know, I mean, it's like,
yeah,
she deserves to not have that
right
now.
Right, that's brunch and mimosas.
Yes.
Hang out
exactly
with your grandkids.
Yeah. Walk the dogs.
Yeah.
Walk the dogs
through the woods.
Beast involved
run into
still,
strangers.
But like, also live your life. She
yeah
has given us so much.
Like, I know. I feel like she maybe doesn't have an identity
she
anymore
knows how
outside.
She's
of
gonna.
Her.
What's all? That's always the case. Like. Yeah. People retire and they're like, shit, what do I do
like,
now?
Even like when I left like my day job in politics, right? I
right
was like, it's so much of it like had defined who I was.
Right.
And
yeah
I went through this whole period of having to figure out like who I was without the job.
Yeah.
Do you
yeah
know what I mean? And
well,
I mean,
and especially
can I only
with something
imagine
like politics that is like you're invested in even as a private citizen. So it's
right
not
yeah
like something you can fully divorce yourself from.
Exactly.
It's not
yeah
like if you have a job in, you know, writing
marketing
copy for ads or
you're
something
right
like you can leave
hey
and then be like oh yeah but you could leave your job and it would
I could
be like
and
I still
never
have interest
and then never think about it
yeah
again
exactly
I might watch a TV promo
yeah
what, sometimes
by
and then make a judgment about it
exactly
think of what I would have done differently but
right
I,
but like it would
right
you wouldn't be like oh now I have no interest with that
right
TV promo
yeah
but
yeah
in any case That's the news this week, though, you guys. Thank you guys so much for being here.
It's very fun.
Remember to go check out their show. What's the website? It's badnewslive.tv.
Badnews.tv. Acme Comedy Theater. It's next Saturday.
February 18th.
7:30.
7:30. It is, yeah, please. I'm creating the promotion, guys. It's a lot of fun. We've got a really good lineup, and it's our first show back since the election.
Oh, nice.
And,
it's our season two premiere.
It's super fun.
We've got Liz Stort opening. Yeah. She's doing some stand-up. And then our panel, we've got Helen Hong, Chris Redd, Zach Noe Towers.
Adam Yenser, who's
a conservative, but a good guy. And so I think we'll have really good debate. Perfect. Both sides of the aisle will be represented. And it'll be funny as fuck.
Yeah. Nice.
Come check it out.
Yeah. Sweet. Sounds fun. And we'll see you there. And... happy week, everybody. Yeah. Try to make it through this one, too.
Enjoy the next few hours of no news.
Yeah.
Because we got to get ready for tomorrow.
Yeah. Exactly. Mondays are the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah. Enjoy your Sunday.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.